right, let's take our Bibles, turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. One of our presidents, he was president in the 1980s, our 40th president, did two terms, Ronald Reagan. This is what he said, and this, it doesn't go exactly with what we're going to be speaking on, but you'll see eventually it does kind of tie together because we're talking about truth. And he said, sometimes when I'm faced with an atheist, I'm tempted to invite him to the greatest gourmet dinner that one could ever serve. And when we had finished eating that magnificent gourmet dinner, to ask him if he believes there's a cook. As he says, a lavish meal requires a cook, and a lavish creation requires a creator. And that is the truth. And you'll see in our passage here in John chapter 8, we'll start in verse 31. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Notice what he says, believed on him. And that's an important, it's an important idea, because some people think that just belief is enough. Just belief is enough. There's a verse that is found in James chapter 2. And in James chapter 2, this is what the Bible says. It says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The reason I say that with coming with verse 31, some people may say, well, all Jesus was talking to folks that were saved. It doesn't necessarily mean that, right? Because they believed on Jesus. Notice in the book of James, James chapter 2 says, hey, you believe in God? That is well. The devils also believe and tremble. Just believing in God isn't enough. It's repenting of sin and trusting in him, as the testimony says. So here in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue where? And doing good deeds and going to church and giving lots of money. No, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Then are you disciples indeed. Now notice in verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now what's interesting about that statement is, this is the Israelites, right? And so what are they right now? They're in bondage to who? The Roman Empire. Everybody know that. You could go into history. Oh, hey, you know what? What are you talking about? We haven't been bondage to any man. Have you ever read history? It almost sounds like today in America, people that don't know history and just make up whatever. Well, that's what the Israelites are doing here. And they're saying, we've never been in bondage to any man except for right at this moment. That, I guess, was in the fine print. You shall be made free. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So here's the context then. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Now that's some pretty harsh words, because what he was saying is, I can make you free because I come from God the Father. You're speaking from your father. And in other places, he tells them who their father is, and that is the devil. Some pretty hard words. And this passage here in John 8:32 has been taken, and as I mentioned during our announcements, it's been hijacked. In fact, a couple hundred years ago, or about 150 years ago, there was a lady that was in Steinway Hall, November 20th, 1871. And her speech was, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. All right, you don't have to say amen to that because her speech was really retarded. Okay, I'm sorry about that word. All right, but it was really stupid. All right, her speech was outrageous. Okay, her speech was unbelievable. What it was is that you should have free love. And you should, and it was a speech against, basically the USA. That was in 1871 in Steinway Hall. I found an article from Psychology Today. Now, you know right there, it's going to be a good article. This is what Psychology Today said. It says, we have long been taught that the truth will set us free. And that seeking the truth is a worthy goal. What if there is no absolute truth? What if there are just degrees of truth or lies that we tell ourselves? What if, as some insightful anonymous person once purported, people tell themselves stories and then pour their lives into the stories they tell? Meaning is created in life. All right, we should have soft music right now, humming. We should all go into meditation here. Neutral events are made subjective by interpreting them through the lens of perception. You probably have no idea what that just said either. Truth is merely a product of perception. Together. Perceptions are colored by experience, which is then filtered through the current state of mind and altered even further. By the time the neutral event is processed in this manner, it is a little more truth than fiction. Yet personal truth is accepted wholeheartedly. What kind of stupidness is here? Yeah, it's a psychologist. In an excellent discussion on being wrong, one lady stated, the miracle of your mind isn't that you can't see the world as it is, it's that you can see the world as it isn't. I have no idea what that means. I don't know why they get paid to put ridiculous things like this, lots of money. I mean, if you and I can write silly things like this, then we should be millionaires, right? Why aren't they hiring us to say stupid things? This is what it says. Then it continued on. Now, if you are willing to suspend truth for a moment and to even momentarily accept that much of what you believe may only be your version of the truth or that what you believe is not the absolute truth, you may wonder how this is helpful to your state of mind. I am. So that's Psychology Today. And what are they saying? It's possible there is no truth. There is no absolute truth. Oh, no. And guess what it creates? Psychologists, and I believe this wholeheartedly, and I believe this is a tool of the devil, which you may tie the two, it may be synonyms there. But what they want to do is create a fear and an unknown. So that then you have to come to them, and only they have the truth. You know, there's a time in history of the world that there was proponents that said only they had truth. We call that time era the Dark Ages. And the Dark Ages was that only a certain select people could have the truth. And so they held it. Right? They held that truth and nobody else could get it. In fact, there is a man that was an Austrian theoretical physicist. This was a few years ago. He achieved fame for his contribution to quantum mechanics. And this is what he said. When it comes to those things that are most important, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Who is God? What is his will? Science is deathly silent. And so here's a scientist that is a brilliant scientist that did all this research, did all this work, and was congratulated on his contribution to quantum mechanics. And what did he say? When it comes to things that matter about your spiritual walk and your spiritual life, don't go to science because it does not have the answers. Truth will not be found in science. Truth will not be found. In fact, we were riding home the other day, We had the radio on, and it was an hour in the radio program that was doing shows. All right, it was I think it's Symphony, the Symphony station on Sirius. And they, one of the hours is shows, and so one of the songs that came on was the song from Cinderella. Remember that, Sabrina? We were driving in, and it was the song from Cinderella, and it was saying that you should follow your dream. You know, that's what some people sitting here, that's the truth that you have been taught. The truth that you've been taught is, you know what? You need to have a dream. You need to follow your heart. And this is what I can tell you. Biblically, that's ridiculous. That is not truth that you can bank your life on. There is an absolute truth, and the absolute truth is found in God's Word. How do I know that? This verse is not saying, and some people have taken it, the social movement. And you can find, like I said, in the 1870s, here's this lady, and she was coming on for women's suffrage, and he said, the truth shall set you free. Lady, you had no idea what the Bible was saying. It wasn't talking about free love and social justice. This is Jesus is saying, know the truth. The verse before, in verse 31, what did it say the truth was? If you continue in my word. Amen. That is the truth that Jesus Christ is talking about. In fact, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, Jesus Christ said, I am the way. What is the next? The truth. And the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That is the truth that we're going to try to talk about this morning. The truth is that the Word of God is absolute. It is foundational. There is nothing else you can trust. There is nothing else that can get you to heaven. And you can follow your dream and follow your heart and say, you know what? I need to find myself. This is what you will do. You follow your heart and follow your dreams and you find yourself and you're going to be depressed. You're going to go down a wrong pathway because the truth is that only Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And we must follow him. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray as we take this simple idea of the truth that you would sink it home into our hearts. You would help us to understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And by knowing the truth, we can be free. Lord, we always ask for you to do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. Calm our hearts, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So why is truth important? I just have three questions this morning simply. Why is truth important? Because if I am going to get to heaven, I have to know. It can't be a lie. It can't be a falsehood. So I need to find out what the truth is. Now, there's a religion out there, and let me give you another place where the word truth is found. We have it posted outside here in a plaque in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I will read it. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And then the last portion of 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 is posted on a plaque right outside here. This is what it says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground, guess what the word is, of the truth. So why is truth important? Truth is important because then I can have something to base my life on. So what is the pillar and ground of the truth? The church. Now, let me correct something, because there's religions that say that their church is truth. Is that what the Bible says? No. It says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Our church is not the truth. Guess who is the truth? Jesus Christ. So when a church does not hold to the Bible and it does not hold to Christ as the head of the church, and there are some churches, and if you're a part of this, I'm sorry, but if they say that Christ isn't the head of the church, for instance, the Pope is, that is a false religion. Now, how can you say that? Because the church is the pillar and ground. The church is a pillar. Does that mean it's the truth? No, it's holding up the truth. A pillar holds something up. And so guess what? Religions that deny Jesus Christ deity, deny Jesus Christ that he is the only way to heaven, and they add to salvation, then guess what I can tell you about those churches? They are not a house of God. According to the Bible, they're not a house of God. What are they? They're a house of something, maybe a house of hope. I've heard of some of those. All right, they're a house of something. But they are not a house of God. Why? Because a house of God holds up the truth. And what is the truth? Is it just my feelings? Oh, I got a dream. There's guys that are out there, and man, they have big crowds this morning, and they have people come in, and they rock it out at the beginning, and they're all dancing around, and then he gets up and he says, you know what? You need to have a dream. You need to have a dream, and then you need to see that dream, and you need to experience that dream, and you need to live that dream. And everybody's out there like, oh, yeah! What in the world? You didn't have some dream. All right, I have dreams sometimes. Sometimes it's just like dead sleep, which is kind of fun sometimes. But just because I have some dream out there, and I'm like, oh, I want to make $1 million. What is that about the truth? The truth always is tied to who? Jesus Christ. It's always tied to Jesus Christ. And that truth, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that Jesus Christ, without him, you can do nothing. And that is what the Bible says over and over, and that Jesus Christ, and through him, we have redemption. Through Jesus Christ, I can know the truth. That is what our church should be built on. And when your life has that truth, then it can be free. There are some of you sitting here, and I'm just going to touch on it because we're dealing mostly with salvation. But there's some of you sitting here that you have been saved and you have bought into this ridiculous lie of psychology and your heart. And you say, you know what, that Fairhaven, just like he's saying, you know what, that Fairhaven, all they're about is the Bible. And you sit there just like that. Now, you put on airs when you're around other people that may know you a little bit, and you always like have this fake smile, but in your heart, you're miserable. Why? Because your truth is living for yourself, and you're saved. You're saved, and you say the truth, I'm going to find it. You're not going to find it without God's book. You go searching around, and maybe you're going to fill your life up with lust, and you're going to fill your life up with sin. You're going to fill your life up with all your wants and all your desires. This is what I can tell you. You're going to be in bondage because the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. It is not going to be living your life your way, the truth, and that is living according to this book. That is the truth that God wants us to live by. And so truth is important. Why is truth important? Because without truth, I live shackled. That's God. If the truth is going to set you free, then lies, what's the opposite? Will shackle you. Some of you, you're living your life according to a lie. What's the lie? You know what, Al? I can feel good. How can I feel good? I'm going to do good deeds. I have an example of that. So the first one is, what is truth? The second thing, or the first one, why is truth important? So what is truth? We already kind of touched on that. So let's go to John chapter 8. I'll come back to that idea of an example in just a moment. But look at, we were in John. So let's just take the book of John. In the book of John, the idea of truth is listed over 20-something times. Just the word truth in the book of John. I'm not going to list all of them, but look at John chapter 1. We're in John 8. Let's go earlier. John chapter 1. Look at what God says about Jesus. Okay? And in verse 9, it says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's talking about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is Jesus again. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But then go down to verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Uh-oh, look at what it says. Full of grace. And what's the next one? Truth. So who is the epitome of a man filled with truth? Jesus Christ. And he came down, according to John chapter 1, and dwelt among us. Why? So that in verse 12, we could become the sons of God. But you cannot become the sons of God without going to the truth. And the truth is always tied to Jesus. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but look, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'm not off. This is all straight from the Bible. So how can I find out truth? What is truth? Truth is always tied to Jesus Christ. And we're talking spiritual. And you know, some people can take John chapter 8 and they can talk about all kinds of things. John chapter 8 is not talking about lies and falsehoods. As far as like you and I speaking, like I could grab Jared and just say, hey, Jared, you lied to me. And John chapter 8 says you're going to know the truth and the truth shall set you free. That is not what that's talking about. Not talking about us personally and lies and falsehood. What it's talking about is a misunderstanding about spiritual things as far as heaven and hell. Here are people that believed, they said, in Jesus, but Jesus says, you don't know the truth. And the truth is that Jesus could set them free from the law. He could set them free. And this morning, there's some of you that have come to church. You've done good deeds. You've done all kinds of things in your heart and in your life, but you've never accepted Jesus, the truth, to get saved. And all that other dreams, all that other following your heart, I'm sorry, following your heart is one of the worst things you can do. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. What I need is God to change my heart. He needs to cleanse my heart. And that happens by coming to the truth. So what else do we see? In John chapter 8, we saw that one. Remember, John chapter 8, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 14, we're there in John 8. Go to John 14. John 14, I already quoted this one. Thomas saith in verse 5, Lord, we know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How are we supposed to get to heaven? Jesus said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what is... Let's go to just a couple more, because remember I said the book of John has a lot to do with truth. Look at John 17. John 17. You're going to see a pattern in the book of John. John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. There's the word again. So what is truth? Thy word is truth. So how do I find out about truth? How do I find out what is truth? I am not going to find it apart from this book. Some of you, that's what you've been doing. As a Christian, some of you, you've been going your way and saying, you know what, I'm going to find the truth. And you went away from God's book. I'm sorry, you're living in a lie. Falsehood, hypocrisy, deceitfulness, that's where you're at. And you will only come back to a life of truth when you get back to this book. How do I know that? Because God says it. And when I stray from this book, I start dabbling in falsehood. And when you stray from this book, you start dabbling in falsehood. And then, guess what's going to start happening? You're seeing it in our nation. It's starting to unravel. And what's starting to unravel? Because that's not absolute truth. There is no absolute truth. Remember I read that in Psychology Today? There is no absolute truth. Then who makes up truth? We all do. I've heard that. You've heard that. Probably had a discussion at work. Well, you know what? You just got to, in that phrase, follow your heart. You got to find out what works for you. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find out what works through this book. Because just limbo out there, no absolute truth. And we're seeing that. You know why I can say I know that one man, one woman means marriage? You know why I know that? The truth of this book. And that's why they're already having it. They're already having it. Did you know that there was either this week or last week, they were trying to make a river and an object. They were trying to make them a human being. A river. All right, now, I know some of you are like, all right, what did you just say? Because, yeah, it was hard for me to get to. But when I get away from this book, then anything, any ridiculous thought becomes, well, that's my idea of truth. So then, guess what? One man and 10 women means marriage. Say, well, wait a minute. You can't do that. Why not? That's what I think. You say, well, wait. I mean, what about? And I'm sorry if this is the way you've been taught and this is the way you live your life, but you say, well, I don't need marriage. I just like that person and we're living together. I'm sorry, but the truth of God's word says that's sin. It's the truth of God's word. I have to have some foundation, and you do, believe it or not. If it's yourself, that's what truth is. So you're saying, well, it's me. So then I say, no, I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to follow me. And that's what you have all over America today. Everybody just says they're going to do that which is right in their own eyes. So you can't tell me what I'm supposed to do. And they can't tell me, and even in school now. And I am not trying to get into the ridiculousness of even now kneeling when we, I mean, I have a flag. I guess now I'm supposed to be kneeling when the anthem goes up. I wrote somebody this week. I said, these guys are so silly. Don't they know biblically that kneeling actually says that I am bowing down to the flag? That's how numbskulls they are. Kneeling biblically actually lifts up the flag higher. It's the almighty flag. I don't kneel to anything except God. Amen. I don't kneel to anything except God. They don't even know what they're doing. But also, I mean, all of a sudden you're taking a stand. I'm taking a stand. And then ask them what they're taking a stand for. They have no idea. And you know the plight of me. You make $16 million to play a game, and you know my plight. You know the hungry people out there. What have you done? How have you suffered? Suffered nothing. And that's the ridiculousness that's in our nation. Why? Because there is no truth. I might not like all that the president does. I may not like all that the policemen do. I may not like all that the people in authority around me do. But the Bible tells me to honor authority. Honor it! And some of you sitting here, the reason you have a problem with authority is because you don't know the truth. And the truth in your heart says, I can stand up and do what I want. And the Bible says, you're a rebel. You're wicked. Because I may not like it, but God says, I honor and respect authority. So I may not like all that a policeman does, then I go and I try to deal with that in a biblical fashion. I don't go and shoot somebody. Why? Because the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And that is truth that I base my life on. You see, in today's day and age, you've got to have some truth. You've got to have a foundation. Truth is important. And what truth you are basing your life on is important. So then, my last question is, have you accepted the truth? Have you accepted it? In June of 2006, Warren Buffett announced that he would, listen to this, donate, and this is 11 years ago, 85% of his $44 billion was going to go to 5 charities. I didn't know it at the time, otherwise I'd have written him a letter. All right, I'm here. Okay. $44 billion. Think about that. 85%, that's something like $7 billion going to a charity. And this is what he said. In response to the question about his generosity, listen to what Warren Buffett said. He said, there is more than one way to get to heaven, but this is a great way. Sorry. Jesus did not say, good works will get you to heaven. Jesus did not say that donating money is the way and the truth to get to heaven. No man gets to heaven except, and I'm pretty sure this is in the Greek though, I just wanted to throw this out there, no man can get to heaven except they give money to Fairhaven. I would love to tell you that that's what's in the Bible. Because all across America, I can say, hey, you know what? You're not going to heaven. Like, why? You didn't give me cash. Give me cash, you're going to heaven. Now, there's some people that like to make stuff up like that. I would love to make that up. But guess what? I have an obligation to the truth. And the truth is this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's not me, it's Jesus. So why is truth important? Because without the truth, you'll die and go to hell. What is the truth? The truth is that Jesus is that. So have you accepted it? Have you accepted the truth that you can't just get to heaven on your dreams? You can't get to heaven on your good deeds. Warren Buffett, I'm sorry, he's not getting there unless he accepts Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. That's hard for you and me. It's hard for me. You know why? Because as a man, I take care of my own problems. I take care of my own bills. That's kind of being an independent American. That's what I like doing. But when it comes to salvation, I am helpless. I can't do it. And when it comes to your salvation, I can't do it either. I can't get you saved. Our church can't get you saved. Doing good deeds can't get you saved. Putting money in an offering plate or going and helping out at some charity. You know, all those things are good. And as a Christian, once you're saved, guess what happens? He changes you and good things happen. That's the whole book of James. But guess what? It's all after you find the truth. And it's after you rest your whole life on that truth. I ask you then, have you accepted the truth? I was reading an illustration from Spurgeon. C.H. Spurgeon was a preacher in the 1800s, and he talks about a bird that's in a cage. And in the cage, guess what he is? He's bound. He's in bondage. But he said somebody took a bird and they attached a little string to it and they tied the string to a rod, you know, kind of a sitting area. And they didn't want the bird to go too far, so they attached a string and the bird could fly for a few feet and it'd have to come back and rest on that perch. And he said, the bird in the cage and the bird with the string attached, both are still in bondage. Some of you say, well, I'm out of my cage. Oh, yeah, look it. And the devil has conned you in the area of religion, maybe. You say, I'm a good person. That's not getting you to heaven. You say, so I'm supposed to be a bad person? No, I'm not saying you're bad, but that's not going to get you to heaven. You'd say, wait a minute, I've given X amount of dollars. Hey, even Warren Buffett, you give all that money, but it will not get you saved. Because what is it? It is only the truth that'll set you free. And what is the truth? Jesus Christ. Heads bowed.